Morning.
Let's see. I've been told I tell everybody that VBS is starting this Wednesday, and bring all your friends and neighbors, kids, anyone under 5 years old to fifth grade, and that starts at 5:30, I believe.
Over five.
Over five? Hope said under five too. So.
We have kids in church that are 3, 4, 5. We still want them.
Sure.
We can watch them.
Okay. And Dave has an announcement about annual meeting.
We didn't get it in the bulletin, but we are going to have our annual meeting August 2nd, Sunday, August 2nd. So if you would write down that date, those of you that need to give reports in, please do a week before that. I think that's it. Yep.
Yep. All right, I'm going to read from Psalms 4, starting at verse 6. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when the grain and the new wine abound. I will be down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Lord, we gather here together to gain strength from your word and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. For the world is turning away from you, O Lord. Evil is everywhere. Keep us on the path of righteousness. We praise you, our Lord and Savior, the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Gathered in your name,
That's the way to get started on a Sunday morning. Have a seat, please. We invite our children up for the children's moment. We hope it's not too long before our newcomer will be able to come up here and join the children at the children's moment. For those of you who haven't heard, we have a new grandchild. We told you last Sunday that we were expecting him, and he has arrived, Jesse Paul. So, like I said, hopefully it won't be too long before he'll be here and you'll be able to meet him. Maybe Christmas time.
I brought somebody to share with you today. I'll bet you none of you have ever seen a Japanese rabbit. This is a Japanese rabbit. Has the kimono, the obi, the real thing. So, now you've seen a Japanese rabbit. And it's very precious to me. It was made for me by a friend of Michiko's. She came and stayed at our house for a little bit, and this was her gift to me. And for the most part, I try and keep her on the bureau in one of the bedrooms so that she doesn't get kicked around, because you see she's floppy. And you know, and I just think because she's so precious to me and because I think you'd really like to see her, I'm going to have her go around. Be very careful, though, but because I wouldn't want anything. Now, what could happen to that poor floppy rabbit? What could happen?
It could get chewed up by a dog.
It could be chewed up by a dog, yes. I don't have a dog, but you never know. Amy, or Abby.
Your grandkids can sneeze on it.
I could. You could do that. You know, and it isn't exactly the same. Did you want to see her? I'm sure you did. It isn't exactly the same, but in a way, that's how God takes care of us. I try and keep her from harm. I try and make sure with you that she doesn't get all dirty if I flop down on the floor, and the dog, if anybody ever brings one to my house, would get a bite of her, you know. So you just have to protect these things that are precious. And you know, each one of you are precious in God's sight. And in the book of John, in the 10th chapter, there's a story about how we are the sheep and how God, Jesus, is the shepherd. And think about how he takes care of us. He leads us out and he takes us to water and food. He protects us from anything that comes around, just like I try and protect this little gal. And he loves us, therefore he protects us. And you know the funny thing about God, and maybe it isn't funny, it's kind of reassuring, God never sleeps. You don't have to worry with God in charge. And I'm going to ask you to imagine something with me for just a minute. It's a really dark and stormy night. The thunder is clapping and making a lot of racket. And you see lightning just zipping across the sky. And the rain is coming down in sheets and hitting the window panes. How easy is that to go to sleep? How many of you like storms? You know, kind of fun to go out and see it, you know, but you don't wanna be out there, not very badly, you know. And you have to be careful. And God tells us that in a number of ways through the Bible. And I picked out a scripture from the Psalms. It says, "He will not let your foot slip." In other words, God's not going to let you get into trouble. That's usually your own doing if you don't. You know, God tries to prevent that. "He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And because we know that about God, we have assurance that he's always there for us. He's there to protect us. He feeds us with his word. And it's just what gives you that confidence to walk among your non-Christian friends and share that love that he gives to us. A God that never slumbers, a God that's always there for you. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you are diligent, that you do not sleep. You allow us to rest. You allow us peace, and all the time that you are taking care of us. We thank you for your care, and we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Dave.
As the kids return to their seats, let's take a minute to stand and reach out and greet our neighbors. We'll continue in just a minute.
Save themselves, their own soul could heal. Our shame was deeper than the sea. Your grace is deeper still. Our shame was deeper than the sea. Your grace is deeper still. And you alone can rescue. You alone can save. You alone can lift us from a grave. You came down. When our hearts were far away,
Heavenly Father, you alone deserve all our worship and praise. We just thank you for your presence here today, and we come humbly before you, lifting the burdens of our hearts to you. And you know each of our hearts individually. Some of us come with joy at new life. Some of us come with sorrow and grief, and some with worry and concern for many different reasons. You hear each of our cries for help. We just thank you for the gift of Jesus and his redemption, for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who we know is always present with us, so that we never, ever have to be alone. Thank you for not leaving us here without help, without your presence. In Jesus' name we pray.
Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Never once did we ever walk alone, carried by your constant grace, held within your perfect peace. Never once, no, we never walk alone. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Evermore we are breathing in your grace. Evermore we'll be breathing out your praise. You are
We want to make our time of prayer this morning a time of intercessory prayer.
want you to continue to remember Margarita Atwell, the family of Irene Cole, others that you may know of who need you to pray on their behalf. May we pray together. Our eternal Heavenly Father, in the quietness, the solemnity of this morning, a Lord's Day morning, we come to intercede. First of all, we give thanks for the abundance of life, that which you have granted to us, the freedom, the privilege of being here this morning with those of like precious faith. We want at this time to intercede for Margarita in her battle with cancer, for the family of Irene Cole at her passing, for strength for Ron as he will be doing her service in Stanley, Iowa. We thank you for Irene's influence upon this community and upon this church. We have seen the love of Christ practiced through her life. We pray this morning for Scott and Robin as they spend time with family, as they continue to prepare for their move halfway around the world to minister to people that are new to them in different languages and different cultures. Provide for their physical needs, and we know you will provide for their spiritual needs through the presence of the Holy Spirit. You love us. Through Jesus Christ, you make us brothers and sisters. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, you reign forever. Jesus, you reign.
Turn, please, to the 42nd Psalm. It would be the basis for our thoughts together this morning. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. Day by day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. As I read this to you, the thought came to me, I am capable of doing two things at the same time. This last week has been a traumatic week for me. I've been having trouble with one of my feet, and so Sharon said, we'll go to Walmart, and you'll stand on this little machine, and they'll sell you $49.96 arch supports. And I received the grave news from them that I needed $49.96 worth of arch supports. So we were in Minneapolis visiting one of our daughters and her family, So I went back to the house, and I told Sharon, I said, my feet feel better already, just carrying them, those arch supports, out of the store. I went home, went to their house, I put them in, and I thought, something's not right. So I wore them for a day, and then I took them out and looked at them, and one of them says R, and the other says L. And I finally decided, with Sharon's help, that stands for right and left. Well, I had them backwards. So I switched them so that they were in the R was in the right foot, the L was in the left foot. Wore them for two or three days, and she said, how do your feet feel? And I said, well, so-and-so. She said, well, you got those things in upside down. Turn them over. I don't know how I ever survived the week. And so this passage where it says, my bones are brittle, that I related to that. This 42nd Psalm, who wore number 42 in the major leagues? Jackie Robinson. Who was the last player in the major leagues to wear number 42? No. Mariano Rivera. Because he was wearing it at the time Major League Baseball retired it, and so they allowed him to finish his career. What happens every April 15th, other than Dave Wheatcraft pays his taxes to finance the government? What happens April 15th of every year? Every Major League Baseball player, every manager, every umpire wears what number? 42. April 15th, I happened to turn on the television, and I was watching a baseball game, and every baseball player had on number 42, and I thought, what is going on? And then it dawned on me. Jackie Robinson was born the youngest of five children. One of his brothers, Mac, finished second to Jesse Owens in the 200-meter run in the 1936 Olympics, in which the late Louis Zamborini of unbroken fame also ran. I was talking to someone not long ago, and they said, Jesse Owens ran in Mason City. Does anybody remember that? You must not have been there. Larry Anderson should remember. Bob told me that Jesse Owens ran, and I think it was at Roosevelt Field, he raced a horse. And Jesse Owens beat the horse in a race across the field. Jesse Owens broke into Major League Baseball April 15th, 1947. Who was the shortstop who put his arm around Jackie Robinson and said, you can hate a man for many reasons, but color is not one of them? I'll give you a clue. A little short guy with a nickname Pee-wee. Pee-wee Reese. Jackie Robinson was the 1947 Rookie of the Year. 1949, he was the National League batting champion at 342. He had 37 stolen bases as well as most valuable player. He played in six World Series with the Dodgers, was a six-time All-Star. In 1962, he was the first African-American inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown by 77.5% on the first ballot. In 2004, Major League Baseball retired number 42, and only those who were wearing the number, as I said at that time, were allowed to continue. Mariano Rivera from the New York Yankees finally retired in 2013, and the Yankees retired that number as well. The story about Pee Wee Reese has been questioned many times, but to a certain extent it is believed to be true, based on conversations related by Rachel Robinson, the widow of Jackie. Jackie Robinson retired at the end of Major League season in 1956. He died in 1972 as a result of a heart attack complicated by heart disease and diabetes. The legacy of 42. The important thing this morning is not that you remember all of this stuff about Jackie Robinson, number 42. The important thing is that the author of the 42nd Psalm lays out an individual's struggle. The psalm is the story of the struggle of an individual to find God in the midst of distressing circumstances. It begins with one of the better known phrases outside of Psalm 23 that says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God." Perhaps at some time, the author of this 42nd Psalm has spent time pursuing the deer, and he knew that it would eventually have to stop for water. After this simple opening statement in verses 1 and the first part of verse 2, the author asks a question that all of us have asked at various times and perhaps numerous times. Where can I go and meet with God? What can I do? When can I go and meet with God? The author implies in the first four verses here that his desire is to be leading and participating in the worship of the temple. In essence, he is saying, we oftentimes pursue God, but not finding him when and where we expect, we must end up in the temple as a part of our worship, as a part of our pursuit. He has been questioned about the presence of his God by those who are around him, perhaps even ridiculed and made fun of by what we would call non-believers. Then he goes in verses 5 and 6. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar." Even with the joyousness of the worship and the praise in the procession, why is my heart downcast? It may be and is true that there are times when we are like that. Even after a worship service, we may go out and still be downcast and downhearted and despondent. Perhaps the leader or the preacher was more interested in show than in worship. Maybe it was all about him rather than drawing you closer to God. There are times when we walk through the valley. The psalmist says in Psalm 23, verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The psalmist in verse 23, chapter 23, is not despondent, but the writer of this 42nd psalm appears to be despondent. There might be a slight chance that they were written by the same person, but if that is true, his attitude is entirely different in Psalm 42. Life in the valley causes him to ask four times in verses 5, 9, and 11, why? He questions his own soul in verse 5. Why? He questions God twice in verse 9. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go on mourning? Again in verse 11, he questions his own soul. The psalmist might be yearning and remembering for the good old days, and he might be remembering them. Today we want the good old days, but we do not want the tough old days. At our house most recently at Christmas, one of my seven grandkids said, "Grandpa, what was it like to live during the Depression?" I guess they think I've lived forever. They seem to think that everybody over 30 years of age lived during the Depression. Why is it that we seem to dwell in the valley of the shadow of death, when with a little more effort and perhaps a little more energy, we could move on to higher ground? Often the memories of the good old days make the joy of the present even harder to accept and to enjoy. I would say that Jackie Robinson, as the first African American in Major League Baseball, when he came to the major leagues, he lived in the valley. But there's life on a higher ground than that. The psalmist confronts the discouragement of life in the valley, and he finally reaches and realizes that the source of healing and restoration is God. He said that my tears have been my food, but they became my song. Notice the contrast between verses 3 and 8. My tears have been my food day and night. When will men say to me all day long, where is your God? And verse 8. Day by day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. The Message translates that, or paraphrases that, I should say. I'm on a diet of tears. Tears for breakfast, tears for supper. All day long, people knock at my door pestering, where is this God of yours? In verse 8, the Message paraphrases it like this. Then God promises to love me all day. Sing songs all through the night. My life is God's prayer. Verse 8 uses the word direct to bring our minds to God's way of bringing into our lives the right people when we need them. Though David is not listed as the author of this 42nd Psalm, we can remember his relationship with his childhood friend Jonathan. David was living as a fugitive from jealous King Saul. There was Saul's son, Jonathan, to comfort and to protect him in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16. When the psalmist learns to leave the valley and climbs to higher ground, he begins to direct the why at himself rather than at God in verse 11. The writer becomes as tough on himself as he has been tough on God. He begins some real soul searching. What can I do to keep my eyes upon God? To whom can I turn to if not God? Are there others I can help in order to help myself? One way to get out of the valley and into the comfort zone is to recall the evidences of God's faithfulness in your life. To remember his provision in the past, answered prayers, goals achieved, rewards for being helpful and beneficial to others. I generally go to about one baseball game a year in the Twin Cities. I have made bets with Sharon that the Twins would lose over 100 games. And I've lost. I still have to pay that bet. But I happen to be at one of the Twins games when Rachel Robinson came to the Twins, the old Met Stadium, when they retired his number as she traveled to every baseball team or every baseball city when they formally retired number 42. And I would say that when he retired in 1956, Jackie Robinson lived on higher ground than he had when he broke into the majors in 1947. Because he had broken the racial barrier and had done it honorably. And in this psalm, there is one short word that appears twice. In the middle of the psalm in verse 5, and at the conclusion of verse 11, the author uses the exact same phrase. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Notice in Psalm 43, the last half of verse 5, he makes the same statement, whoever the author was. There are indications from study that Psalm 42 and 43 were originally one continuous psalm. And then for convenience sake, they were broken down. It's somewhat ambiguous. Hope has come back to the writer. The relationship has been restored. But we do not know just when it happened. There's hope also for all of us. But not everybody is on the same page. The restoration of hope will not come to all of us at the same time. What is that hope that he talks about when he says, put your hope in God? For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Hope is defined as confident expectancy. And in the Bible, the word hope stands for both the act of hoping and the thing hoped for. It does not arise out of an individual's desire or wishes, but from God, who is himself the believer's hope. My hope is in you, in Psalms 39:7. Genuine hope is not strictly wishful thinking, but a firm assurance about things that are unseen and still in the future, in Romans chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 11. Hope is what distinguishes the Christian from the unbeliever, who has no hope. A Christian is one in whom hope resides. In contrast to the Old Testament hope, the Christian hope is superior. Christian hope comes from God, and especially his calling. It comes from his grace. It comes from his word. It comes from his gospel. Hope is directed toward God, according to Acts 24 and 1 Peter 1:21. Hope is directed toward Christ. The appropriate objects of hope are not material possessions. They are eternal life, according to Titus. the hope of salvation, of righteousness, the glory of God, the appearing of Christ, and the resurrection from the dead. All of these things are the basis for our hope, for the assurance that we have when we say, as the psalmist said, my hope is in God. May we pray together. Our eternal Heavenly Father, as we have looked at this 42nd Psalm, we're not certain whether David wrote it or not, but the author is not that important. The important thing is that in the middle and at the end of the psalm, he expresses his hope in God. And we express our hope in God today through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray that our hope would become real, would sustain us, would give us that which you desire for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think I got Denny's problem. I think I got my glasses in backwards. Reading from Matthew 26, the words of Christ sharing the Last Supper. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples saying, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine from now until the day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. I was told this morning that the communion bread this morning is all gluten-free, so there isn't any choice. Let us pray. Dear Lord, bless this bread and cup, symbols of your body and blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins to all that believe you are the Lord and Savior. As we gather here today, we remember you left eternal glory to be broken and bruised and hung on the cross to pay for all our sins so that we could be forgiven and come to be with you. Let us live to serve you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Would you be standing for our benediction and our closing songs? Eternal Heavenly Father, our hope has to be in you. We have tried material possessions. We have tried doing it our way, and it has not worked. So we go from this place this morning, committing ourselves to rely wholly, totally, and dependently upon you, our hope, through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amazing God.
Thank you so much for worshiping with us this morning. Have a great day. Have a great week. We hope to see you next Sunday. So long.